fixture of the FM dial, and we have 50,000 watts, and we have potential, and we need you to go to the phone and to make a pledge, $25 for a membership, $10 a month to be a buddy, or this get this thank you gift. You said it was $120 for Pete Seeger on this five CDs?
Four CDs, five hours.
5 hours. So 516-620-3602 is the number to call. Please call us. Please call us now. We are running out of time. I do want to just put on the piece I did a little earlier this week on Mike Pence, because Mike Pence, Donald Trump's VP choice, is really a piece of work. So anyway, 516-620-3602. So if we could just go to that piece and hopefully people will call in and will continue to call in, because you know the number, don't you? The number is 516-620-3602.
They should know it by now.
You know that number. Please call it. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. A recent CBS News poll found that most voters don't know Donald Trump's choice for VP, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. And in Indiana, where voters know him, 41% disapproved of the job that Pence is doing as governor. And Pence would have had a tough go seeking re-election with a popular Democrat at his heels. So who is this man that is now Donald Trump's running mate? In the 1990s, Mike Pence began his political career as a talk show host. Pence described himself as Rush Limbaugh on DECAP. Indiana's talking, the Mike Pence. Then Pence served 6 terms in Congress from 2001 to 2013. That's where he was seen as an ultra-right-wing conservative, further to the right than more than 300 of his colleagues. And he was never the chief sponsor of any bill that passed into law. He was an abortion foe from the very beginning. He voted to defund Planned Parenthood for providing abortion. He voted yes on funding for health providers who don't provide abortion information, voted to prohibit transporting minors across state lines for abortion, and he voted to bar funding for abortion under federal Obamacare plans. On the budget and economy, Trump's VP pick voted yes on terminating the home affordable mortgage program. He voted no on a $60 billion stimulus package for jobs, infrastructure, and the economy. This was back in 2008. And in the housing crunch, which was occurring at the time, he voted no on modifying bankruptcy rules to avoid mortgage foreclosure in March of 2009. And Pence voted against public education. He voted no on a $40 billion plan for green public schools. He voted no on an additional $10.2 billion for federal education and health and human services projects. And he voted no on $84 million in grants for Black and Hispanic colleges. On energy and oil, he voted no on enforcing limits on CO2 global warming pollution, and he voted no on tax incentives for renewable energy. This was in February of 2008. On LGBT rights in 2004, he voted yes on a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. He voted no in 2007 on prohibiting job discrimination based on sexual orientation, and in 2009, he voted no on enforcement against anti-gay hate crimes. Then in 2013, Donald Trump's pick for VP, Mike Pence, became the 50th governor of Indiana. It's a small state, the smallest of the 12 Midwestern states. It ranks 38th in size among 50 states. Last year as governor, he was embroiled in a controversy over the Religious Freedom Act. In Indiana, it would have protected those who wanted to deny services to LGBT people. So a florist, for example, could refuse service to a gay couple planning a wedding. In March of 2015, he was interviewed by ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is that someone could use their religious faith as a defense against any kind of a suit brought there. But let's try to get to that clarification. You're talking about one fix that people have talked about is simply adding sexual orientation as a protected class under the state civil rights laws. Will you push for that?
I will not push for that. That's not on my agenda, and that's not been That's not been an objective of the people of the state of Indiana.
Mike Pence describes himself as a pretty basic guy whose views reflect the views of the people of Indiana.
I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order.
He was introduced by Donald Trump as his running mate in New York City over the weekend.
I found the leader who will help us deliver a safe society and a prosperous, really prosperous society for all Americans. Indiana Governor Mike Pence was my first choice. I've admired the work he's done, especially in the state of Indiana.
Whether Pence was Trump's first choice is a source of speculation. Pundits wonder if he would have preferred someone whose personality is more like his, Newt Gingrich, or New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie were finalists in a very thin field. They are watching to see personality-wise if Trump and Pence will coalesce as running mates. Meanwhile, stark differences between Pence and Trump have emerged. Pence voted for the Iraq War. Trump was against it. Pence in favor of NAFTA and the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Trump is against U.S. trade policy. And there are other differences, but Trump needed a running mate who knows Washington, who can speak Washingtonese, and Pence fills that bill. Since the announcement, the Democratic side has been painting Pence's conservative social viewpoints as out of step with the mainstream. Clinton's campaign seized on Trump's chaotic process for selecting and announcing his pick. It painted him in a web video as always divisive, not so decisive. And then there was a logo which came out on social media showing a sexually suggestive interlocking T and P, representing their Trump and Pence last names. Michigan former Congress member John Dingell on Twitter asked, "What is the T doing to that P?"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, all delegates, citizens, and patriots. Welcome to the 41st Republican National Convention.
As the eyes of the country and even many around the world are on Cleveland this week as the Republicans gather to nominate Donald Trump. That was actually not supposed to go into that other story, but anyway, this is listener-sponsored WBAI in New York, and Donald Trump's pick for VP, Mike Pence, will deliver the keynote speech tonight at the RNC, the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, during prime time. We can tune in and watch that, or you can listen to Pacifica. You can listen to WBAI for alternative coverage of the Republican National Convention. We begin our coverage at 8 p.m. and we run through midnight. We've been doing this each night, and we appreciate you listening to WBAI and to alternative coverage. And I just want to say thank you so much to the people who have donated, who have become listener sponsors to WBAI, who have become members and who have become buddies, and who have called our pledge line at 516-620-3602, and who are helping to make sure that WBAI continues to be a voice in that very crowded media field. Thank you so much. Good night.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth exclusively on Pacifica Radio and its affiliate stations. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. The nation and the world is beginning to see the power and impact of the movement for Black lives. And even as it is clear that organizing as the Black community is necessary, as some of the elders in the movement counsel, it is also important to build a united front across race, nation, and sector. An example of a man who did just that, but who paid the price for it, is the late, great Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson understood that the oppression of black people in the United States was connected to that of the Welsh and the Irish and to all oppressed people around the world. He was an internationalist while remaining grounded in the black struggle for racial and economic justice. Today, we pay tribute to Paul Robeson, who represented some of the best of the interrelationship between art and politics. He was the son of a runaway slave who became a singer and actor, champion, football player, anti-racist activist, internationalist, socialist, humanist. He was blacklisted for his political views, in particular for speaking out abroad about racial discrimination in the United States. In Peekskill, New York, racists picketed a concert of his there, and following the performance, a riot broke out as police stood aside as racists attacked concert goers. Because he remained popular in Europe, in order to fully derail his career, the U.S. State Department revoked his passport. So, unwelcome in the U.S. and forbidden to travel outside the country, his brilliant and promising career ground to a halt. Today, Paul Robeson is recognized as one of the world's greatest singers, as well as the world's greatest Shakespearean actor. Today, we remember Paul Robeson. Here is Robeson in his role as Othello.
Othello came from a culture as great as that of ancient Venice. He came from an Africa of equal stature. And he felt he was betrayed, his honor was betrayed, and his human dignity was betrayed. And so when they come for him from Venice, he speaks and says, "Soft you, a word or two before you go. I have done the state some service, and they know it. No more of that. I pray you in your letters, when you shall these unlucky deeds relate, speak of me as I am. Nothing extenuate, nor set down aught in malice. Then must you speak of one that loved full wisely, but too well, of one not easily jealous, but being wrought, perplexed in the extreme, of one whose subdued eyes, albeit unused to the melting mood, drop tears as fast as the Arabian trees their medicinable cup. Set you down this, and say besides, that in Aleppo once, where a malignant and a turban Turk beat a Venetian and traduced the state, I took by the throat the damned heathen dog and smote him death. I kissed thee ere I killed thee. No way but this, killing myself to die upon a kiss."
Paul Robeson, the world's greatest Shakespearean actor in his role as Othello. Paul Robeson, a 20th century Renaissance man, an athlete, actor, singer, cultural scholar, author, and political activist. Son of a former slave, Paul Robeson was born and raised during a period of segregation, lynching, and overt racism. He was one of the top performers of his time, earning more money than many white entertainers. His concert career spanned the globe, including Vienna, Berlin, Paris, London, Moscow, New York, Nairobi, and other cities. He spoke 15 languages and earned no fewer than 12 degrees. Despite his genius, he has all been but erased from popular history due to his radical political beliefs and activism. He petitioned the President of the United States for an anti-lynching law, and he promote self-rule on the continent of Africa. He helped victims of the Spanish Civil War. He fought for India's independence and championed equality for all people while enduring terrorism, banned performances, racism, and discrimination throughout his career. And today, we are going to remember and honor Paul Robeson. We are so delighted that we have yet again gotten permission to offer you the Paul Robeson World Citizen, The Portraits of the Artist 4-DVD boxed set. It is an incredible box set. It has 8 of his classic films with special features. It has a book, and it includes new video programs. And I'm afraid I only have 15 people to call and pledge at the $250 level will be able to get this box set. The number to call, 516-620-3602.
Or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org.
If 11 more of you can call and get the box set, that would just be fantastic. I want to quickly now go on to Paul Robeson, his story, the important moments of Robeson's career, Old Man River, his Broadway performance as Othello, his major role in The Emperor Jones, his work as a concert singer. Let's go to that clip right now. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org.
There are moments in a great artist's life which should be remembered forever. Yet, for Paul Robeson, those moments were nearly obliterated, blotted out, by the fears and political anxieties which gripped America in the early 1950s. One such moment occurred over half a century ago. Oscar Hammerstein and Jerome Kern wrote a song expressly for and dedicated to a young singer. No one who has ever heard Paul Robeson sing Old Man River will ever forget it.
Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but don't say nothing, he just
was to be associated with Robeson for the rest of his life. The words he sang were to change gradually as Paul Robeson and the world around him changed. But even if Old Man River had never been written, there was another moment. It was a performance on stage that still stands in the record books, the longest-running Shakespearean play in the history of the Broadway theater. It was a part many actors have played. Emil Jannings, Walter Hampden, Walter Houston, Orson Welles, Laurence Olivier, but none equaled Robeson as Othello the Moor. A performance that was the culmination of 20 years of work and understanding. Robeson recollects.
I just come over from America. We like to say pass and chance and do for the morning dew. And I happened to pick up an old script of Shakespeare, and the due was very clear. It was D-I-E-W, and it was not chance, C-H-A-U-N-C-E, so it was due, like in lieu of, and chance, and dance, it was very, very Shakespearean way. And one terrible, difficult sound was my, almost at the beginning of the play, my services, which I have done the scenery, my services, services. I would say my services, I had to work on that very but later I took some special work at the University of London, and also in my university days I majored in English, and I have records from the earliest time of Anglo-Saxons, matter of fact, through Chaucer. And of course, since I worked on my songs with Roger Quilter, and I would have to draw. I couldn't walk out here and say, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge you with mine. It's got to be very, drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. Only the...
Yet Robeson's Othello was more important for another reason. Simple human dignity. White men wearing black makeup had been kissing Desdemona for years on the American stage, but this was the first time a black man would play Othello with a white supporting cast. Actually, in 1826, one other black American, Ira Aldridge, had played Othello throughout Europe with an all-black cast. Magnificent actor that he was, Ira Aldridge was not allowed to play Othello in his native land, America. But in 1943, America had changed. Margaret Webster directed Robeson in Othello.
The moment he stepped onto that stage, he was not only a black man, but he was a great black man, a man of stature. Somehow or other, he put the play in focus.
Shakespeare, the genius that he was, seemed to foreshadow and understand many of the problems that have since arisen in our world, perhaps were present then. First, I would say that here is a part which has dignity for the Negro actor. Often we don't get those opportunities. And I would say that my people will be very proud of my or any other Negro actor appearing in such a part. I think also there, that to me, Othello is one of a different culture. Shakespeare insists that he's African. Some argument whether the word black and the fact that he's from Africa is very clear to me. And that Shakespeare posed this problem of a, say, black man in a white society.
Robeson's career started in the early 1920s. It was a time of the Negro Renaissance, and the early works of black musicians, poets, writers, and painters were coming to the attention of the American public. Robeson was supporting himself through law school by acting when he was seen by Eugene O'Neill. It was his performance as the Emperor Jones in a revival of the O'Neill play that first brought Robeson to the consciousness of the theatrical world.
Smith, cigarette.
There is no visual record of Robeson's performance in 1924. This is a scene from the film, which was made 9 years later.
Smith? You have just had an audience with the Emperor Jones.
In the next 4 years, the sound of Robeson's voice was heard around the world. In 1928, Robeson opened in the London production of Showboat. And it's interesting that when he recorded Old Man River for the first time a year earlier, he sang the original Hammerstein lyrics using the word niggers.
Niggers all work on the Mississippi. Niggers all work while the white folks play. Pulling them both from the dawn.
By 1928, Robeson had persuaded Hammerstein to change the word to darkies, which may seem less than any change at all in terms of today's thinking, but the lyrics of Old Man River were eventually to change mightily in the years to come. It was 1930. Success piled on success. Impresario Max Reinhardt decided to produce one American play in Berlin, Der Kaiser Jones, or as one German newspaper headline, Der Schwarze Kaiser. Robeson set another landmark. Paul Robeson had still another career on the concert stage. It happened almost by accident. Back in 1924, he was rehearsing the last act of The Emperor Jones, and the script called for Jones to exit, hands in his pocket, whistling a tune. Robeson said he couldn't whistle. The director said, well, hum or sing if you want to.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, this day let it be known,
yeah, steady, mate, steady,
that thou art God, and that I am thy servant. Lord God of Abraham, hear, oh hear me, Lord, and answer me.
Was that you?
Yeah. Was it all right?
Robeson sang all over the world. He sang for the people and he sang for the royal families of England, Romania, Greece, Yugoslavia. As Robeson's view of the world expanded, so did his music. He became competent in many languages. He began to sing folk songs in the languages they were written in.
So the idea of my concert is one suggestion that all men are brothers because of their music. And in my first group, I do an old English song. I do an old song from about the 11th or 12th century from Czechoslovakia. The Moravian chorales of about the 11th and 12th centuries preceded the chorales upon which Johann Sebastian Bach based his music. So I take this, and then I do a Bach chorale. And then I create a slight confusion by doing a Negro spiritual right in the middle, because it belongs there.
Two Robeson concerts stand out. One on a day a war stood still. It was January 27, 1938, at Teruel, Spain. Robeson had come to the front to sing to the Republican soldiers. Somehow the shooting quieted down. Loudspeakers were put up, and for a day, a war stopped while two opposing armies listened to a man sing.
He must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling.
In Spain, another change in the words of Old Man River. I'm tired of living and scared of dying became, we must keep fighting until we're dying.
Laughing instead of crying, we must keep fighting until we're dying. And
Old Man River was beginning to turn from a song of lament to a song of political protest. The other unforgettable concert was in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Robeson chose the hymn Jacob's Ladder, and he sang for 4,000 people in the cathedral and 5,000 more who stood outside and listened.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross.
The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
or go to give2wbai.org.
Classic material as we honor Paul Robeson. We are offering up Paul Robeson, Portraits of the Artist. It's a 4-DVD box set. Inside of it, it has 8 films, classic films, including special features. It has a book. It has 4 new video programs. The pledge level for that box set of this classic is $250. And let me tell you, last time I offered this, the company we got it from had lost their rights to be able to offer this. They temporarily have it. I snagged 15 copies. I have 15 copies. I suggest you get it now. I hope that you will join me and pledge at any level. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give2wbai.org.
If you can't manage to get the box set, we do have the Paul Robeson World Citizen CD at a $60 pledge level, a $60 pledge level, and you will be able to take home that CD. And you know what? If 46 of you call and pledge at the $60 level, we'll make our goal of $3,000 for this hour. I have to raise another $2,750 before the top of this hour. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give2wbai.org.
I suggest that you get this material because we don't know how long this will last, if the license will remain. There's a lot of controversy around it. They are 8 films that are part of it. You have The Emperor Jones. You have the DVD Paul Robeson Tribute to an Artist. You also have the classic Body and Soul, directed by Oscar Michaud back in 1925. You've got Borderline from 1930, Sanders of the River 1935, Jericho 1937, The Proud Valley 1940, Native Land 1942. Listen, this is classic material. I would hate for you to lose out, and that's why I'm pledging today to make sure that in my family we have this box set, because I don't know how much longer it will be around. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give2wbai.org.
So I need to see those phone lines going. I'm making a last call now. I've got 15 of these box sets available. I want to go on now to hear more from Paul Robeson of the 1939 performance of Ballad for Americans on CBS Radio, his increasing political outspokenness and changes to the lyrics of Old Man River. Let's go to that clip right now. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give2wbai.org.
Then in 1939, there was another moment. Robeson first sang Ballad for Americans over CBS Radio.
In 76, the sky was red, thunder rumbling overhead. Bad King George couldn't sleep in his bed, and on that stormy morn, old Uncle Sam was born.
Though the ballad, like Robeson himself, was later nearly wiped from our memories, in 1940, with America uniting for World War II, Ballad for Americans had extraordinary appeal for every man.
America!
When President Roosevelt died in 1945, it was Paul Robeson who was chosen by his fellow actors to read their tribute to the president. It was written by Carl Sandburg. However, with Roosevelt's death and the end of World War II, Robeson's political views separated him from most Americans. From this point on, his artistic career was almost entirely political. He only sang for causes in which he believed, as at the Paris Peace Conference.
But Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
In 1949, he went on a triumphant European concert tour. Between concerts, Robeson spoke out plainly as to what he believed, and there was a severe reaction in the United States.
La 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 la, bye bye. In your mother's arms be creeping, and soon you'll be asleeping. La la.
Warsaw, there were new changes in Old Man River. The Mississippi was now the old man he didn't like to be.
There's an old man called the Mississippi. That's the old man I don't like to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free?
Gets a little drunk and you lands in jail became you show a little grit and you land in jail.
You show a little grit and you land in jail. I guess for today you could say you show a little grit and you end up shot. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and we're honoring the late, great Paul Robeson. And I've got just 14 box sets of his classic Paul Robeson Portraits of the Artist, 4-DVD box set. It's 8 classic films. The number to call. 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org.
You know what? I want to make a last call for them right now. The pledge level is $250. I have pledged. Will somebody please match my pledge for $250? I am making an appeal now. I'd like somebody to match my pledge of $250 and double my pledge for today. The number to call. 516-620-3602.
Or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org.
The 4-disc set of the Paul Robeson beautiful box set. By the way, there are 8 films in that box set. It's special features. It also has a book. It has 4 new video programs. These are collector's items. These are classic items. 516-620-3602. I want to see if anybody's matching my $250 pledge. Please, last call for this. I'm not going to be offering this any longer. We've got a goal of $3,000 for this hour. We are behind in our goal for this hour and for this drive. And let me tell you something here. We are trying to remain as positive as we can, but we need to keep the doors open here. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. I need you to pick up the phone and pledge at any level. You could become a sustainer, pledging $10 or more a month, taken from your credit card or debit account once a month, open-ended for just 1 year. We've got to keep our doors open. Conservative people, they support their media. People who are progressive, who are liberal, we kind of fall down on that. And that's why 95% of talk radio is right wing. Air America, they went bankrupt. Okay, they tried and they went bankrupt. Pacifica, we have managed for over 60 years now, but without you picking up the phone and calling us, we also could fold. That's just the reality of it. So are you going to sit on your hands? You're going to pick up the phone and call, pledge at the $60 level, and we'll send you the Paul Robeson World Citizen CD. Pledge at the $250 level, and we will send you this limited box set of Paul Robeson. I had 18 of them. I need 11 more of you getting the box set. The number to call, 516-620-3602. I want to go on now to another clip from Paul Robeson, the racist backlash to his politics, including a 1949 riot that erupted at a civil rights concert in Peekskill, New York. Let's go there right now. But I need to see those phone calls. And also, we got to keep our doors open. You're not picking up and calling. We cannot do that. I'm speaking plain to you right now. I've tried to remain positive, but I got to speak. Tell you the truth of what's going on. And what's going on is that we are in crisis, and I need you picking up the phone and pledging $500, $1,000, pledge at any level right now, because there is danger that you won't hear Sojourner Truth, and you know that we will be off the air. That's the reality of it. Let's carry on the legacy of Paul Robeson. Let's go to hear more from Robeson right now. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give the number 2 WBAI.org.
The reaction to Robeson's speaking out politically in Europe was to erupt in Peekskill, New York. He had scheduled on his return a fourth annual concert for the Civil Rights Congress in Peekskill. However, those who wanted his outspoken voice stilled threatened violence if Robeson sang. Protesters paraded. Despite the threats, on September 4th, 1949, Robeson came to sing. Spectators jeered on the sidelines at the people who came to listen.
Taking a group of young boys here yelling at the people stopped in their cars. There are hundreds and hundreds of people here, and if there's a serious outbreak, it will be very bad.
Because the concert was ringed with a threat of violence, hundreds of concert-goers volunteered and stood a circle of guard around the audience and around Robeson himself. When the concert was over, the police did little or nothing to avoid a confrontation. The concert-goers were attacked as they left, and a riot developed. 140 people were injured.
Damages are breaking out all over here. The police are fighting the cops. Oh, this is terrible. And they are beating up a Negro. They're clubbing him. He's right here.
After Peekskill, other cities became fearful. Concerts were canceled. Robeson records were withdrawn from stores. Robeson continued to speak out, and condemnation of the man and his beliefs continued. Unbelievably, even his selection years before as All-American end for Rutgers was wiped from the record. The 1917-1918 College Football Hall of Fame listed the only 10-man All-American team in history. The 11th man, Paul Robeson, was eliminated, erased from the record books. Then the Secretary of State canceled Robeson's passport, stating, quote, This action is taken because the department considers that Paul Robeson's travel abroad would be contrary to the best interests of the United States. Unquote. Blacklisted in America and forbidden to travel, Robeson was to spend nearly all of the next decade of his life fighting for his rights and everyone's rights in the courts.
Most importantly, however, the questions raised by the State Department as to my political opinion. Here's the question of whether one who wants to sing and act can have, as a citizen, political opinion. And in attacking me, they suggested that when I was abroad, I spoke out against injustices to the Negro people in the United States. I certainly did. And the Supreme Court Justice just ruled, Judge Warren, in the segregation cases, that world opinion had a lot to do with that ruling that our children, Negro children, can go to school like anybody else in the South. I'm very proud to have been a part of directing world opinion to precisely that condition.
Sometimes I feel like a monster.
Because he was forbidden to go even to Canada, thousands of Canadian miners came to the border to hear Robeson sing. But despite these occasional shows of support, in reality, Robeson was effectively barred from the theater, the concert stage, and the movie studios. Finally, in 1958, to its honor, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that the State Department had no right under law to deny a passport because of a man's beliefs and associations. The fight had been won, but Robeson had lost 10 years out of his life at the height of his career to help win the battle. It was a battle that destroyed his health as well. Once again, he was acclaimed and welcomed around the world, but the years had gone by. One concert to a group of construction workers in Australia tells more of the story than can be written.
He must know something, but don't say nothing, he just keeps rolling.
The words of Old Man River had changed from, we must keep fighting until we're dying, to, I must keep fighting till I'm dying.
The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give2wbai.org.
Let me tell you, I've got 10 minutes left. I only have 9 of those box sets left. They're very hard to come by. We don't know how much longer the company will be able to offer it. They had already once lost the license to be able to offer it. There's some temporary arrangement right now. I've got 9 of them left. The pledge level is $250. And I ask you to join me in pledging at the $250 level, which I did to get Paul Robeson, Portraits of the Artist, a 4-DVD box set that includes, that box set includes 8 films. One, of course, is Paul Robeson, Tribute to an Artist, but also Emperor Jones from 1933. These are classics, people. Body and Soul, 1925. Borderline, 1930. Sanders of the River, 1935. Jericho, 1937. The Proud Valley, 1940. Native Land, 1942. The number to call. 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. You just heard in that clip how Paul Robeson, there was a racist backlash, a riot breaking out. The police stood aside. 140 people were injured in it. You know, young people today, I ask them, who's Paul Robeson? They don't know who Paul Robeson is. This is a tragedy. Paul Robeson was grounded in the black struggle, but he brought together people across the races, black and white people. You heard in that clip, people streamed from across the border in Canada, when the United States took his passport and didn't allow him to travel. He went to the border and he sang for thousands of Canadians there. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. We lost Paul Robeson January 23rd, 1976. The CIA and the British intelligence, they experimented on him. They shot him up with the drugs. They tried to make him crazy. They tried to destroy this man. It's up to you to lift up his name. It's up to you to pass on to the next five generations who Paul Robeson is. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. I need five people calling for us to meet our goal for this hour. $250 pledge for the four DVD box set. Help to remember Paul Robeson. You know, William Patterson and Paul Robeson went to the United Nations to charge the U.S. with genocide around lynchings, around Jim Crow, around the what is happening with black people in this country. He was loved in the Welsh Valley. The Irish working class, the miners, they loved Paul Robeson because he was a humanist. He supported the Spanish Civil War. He raised money for people, Jewish people who were in concentration camps in World War II. This was a world citizen, Paul Robeson. He brought people together. Let us not forget him. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give, the number two, WBAI.org.
We have to keep our doors open. We are in serious trouble. We have to keep the show on the air, but we cannot do it. It won't happen if you don't pick up the phone and call us right now. Pledge at any level. Become a sustainer. Pledge at the $1,000 level. Send this material out to schools, to the Black Lives Matter groups. Send it to Ireland. Send it to the Welsh Valley. It doesn't really matter. He was a world citizen, bringing people together, understanding that discrimination against black people in the United States was connected, was interrelated to the oppression of people oppressed everywhere in the world. Whatever your race is, but he never forgot the black struggle here in the United States, but able to bring people together across races. Help to keep this show on the air. Help to keep the station doors open. I want to go on now to another short clip of Paul Robeson, an interview where he talks about the Welsh Valley and the common struggle for all oppressed people. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give, the number two, WBAI.org.
And the disc set includes four new video programs. I don't know what else to do for here. Last call for this material. I've got to raise another $1,500 in the next 3 minutes.
Well, tell me, Mr. Robeson, was your commitment to the political scene then largely as a result of your feeling about your own people, or our own people, let's put it?
Yeah.
Or did it have other overtones of
political conviction?
First,
it starts as an American Negro interested in my own people. The other great change is very constant in my mind. I was in the Welsh Valley. And the Welsh people sing very much like we do in the Negro people.
Yes, I've heard
many
them.
Of our songs, beautiful songs. And I was one of the few outsiders who has sung at a Welsh Eisteddfod, their national festival, which has gone on since the time of the Druids. And I went down in the mines with the workers, and they explained to me that, Paul, you may be successful here in England, but your people suffer like ours. We are poor people, and you belong to us. You don't belong to the bigwigs here in this country. And so I today feel as much at home in the Welsh Valley as I would in my own Negro section, any city in the United States. And I just did a broadcast by transatlantic cable to the Welsh Valley a few weeks ago. And here was the first understanding that the struggle of the Negro people, or of any people, cannot be by itself. That is, the human struggle. And so I was attracted then met many members of the Labour Party, and my politics embraced also the common struggle of all oppressed peoples, including especially the working masses, specifically the laboring people of all the world. And that defines my philosophy. It's a joining one of we are a working people, a laboring people, the Negro people. And there is a unity between our struggle and those of white workers. In the South, I've had white workers shake my hand and say, Paul, we're fighting for the same thing. And so this defines my attitude toward socialism and toward many other things in the world. I do not believe that a few people should control the wealth of any land, that it should be a collective ownership in the interest of all.
The number to call, 516-620-3602.
Or go to give the number two, WBAI.org.
I only have five box sets left of this Paul Robeson Portraits of the Artist. Eight films, classic films in it. Has a book featuring essays by Paul Robeson himself and others. By the way, Portraits of the Artist, that DVD is narrated by Sidney Poitier, that great actor. I've got 1 minute. I've got five of the box sets left. I need to raise another $1,500 to meet our goal by the top of the hour. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, appealing to you to keep this show on the air, to keep the doors open. We're not funded by corporations. You know, Paul Robeson, he was blacklisted. His career was ruined because he spoke out for justice. He went to the United Nations with William Paterson and to say, we charged genocide back in 1951. After the lynchings of four African Americans, he met with President Truman and admonished Truman for not enacting legislation to end lynching. This is Paul Robeson. Let's honor him. Get the dollar a day pack with seven items in it. I want to go answer your phone. I've got to get off the air right now. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602.
Or go to give the number two, WBAI.org.
Get one of the five box sets that are left. Thank you for calling and pledging. This is Margaret Prescott.
The land ain't free. Old Man River, that old man River. He must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling.
The Republican National Convention will be held in Cleveland, Ohio. The future of the country is at stake. Pacifica Radio will be there, broadcasting live from Cleveland. Hosts Mitch Jezerich and Askia Muhammad, Pacifica reporters and expert commentators, will bring you the whole story from inside the convention hall and outside in the streets where thousands will converge to Cleveland to be heard. Tune in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 8 p.m. here on local community radio.
Albert, wake up. Livy.
Man, wagwan. Garçon, ça qu'a fait?
There's fire in the cane fields. I said there's fire in the cane fields.
No, not again.
We head for the hills. We meet at La Croix.
Fire in the Cane Fields, Part 1. Presented by the award-winning Midnight Ravers. On Friday, July 22nd, 2016, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., as part of WBAI Summerthon. Join us, and be sure to show your support. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
With less than 200 days left to the Obama administration, time is running out for Leonard Peltier and his hope for a presidential pardon. Join me, John Cain, on July 27th at 7 p.m. at the Brooklyn Commons for a screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, a film by Susie Baer. Come learn what has kept Leonard in prison for over 40 years and about the corruption of the U.S. judicial system, the FBI, and law enforcement as it relates to Native people, and learn what you can do to help. The screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, is free, but donations are welcome. That's July 27th, 7 p.m. at the Brooklyn Commons, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York.
At any given moment, as many as 25 million Americans are struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're now learning that our society may play a role in whether these people continue to suffer or get well. I'm Ben Starr with The Positive Mind. Join us on Tuesday, July 26th at 1 p.m. as we discuss these questions with journalist, filmmaker, Academy Award nominee, and New York Times bestselling author, Sebastian Younger. That's this Tuesday at 1 p.m., only on 99.5 FM, WBAI.
Join us August 13th for the Liquid Sound Lounge annual Summer Soulful House Music Boat Dance Party. Taking it to the waters with yours truly, DJ Jeannie Hopper on the decks, and guest Kim Lightfoot, as well as Jay Rodriguez live on sax and flute aboard the Cabana, East 23rd Street Marina off the East River in Manhattan. 11 p.m. boarding, departing at midnight, returning at 3 a.m. Proceeds go to support listener-sponsored non-commercial community radio, WBAI. For tickets and further information, go to brownpapertickets.com and search Liquid Sound Lounge. All aboard, August 13th.
Hey, this is Bernie Ledden. You're listening to WBAI, listener-supported radio in New York City.
Out of my way, hot rockin' on record day. I have diseases called a heart. Hi, this is Donovan, and you're tuned to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
As we await Pacifica coverage of the Republican National Convention, Night 3, coming your way momentarily.
I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who have put down roots and who have lived here, even though sometime back they may have entered illegally.
Welcome to Pacifica Radio's coverage of the Republican National Convention, live from Cleveland, Ohio. Heard on all five Pacifica stations and also the network of affiliates across the country.
Hey, it's a war outside and a bomb in the street and a gun in the hood and a mob of police and a rock on the corner and a line full of fiend and a bottle full of lean and a motto on a scheme, yeah. These days of frustration keep y'all on tuck in rotation. I duck these cold faces, post up, he FIFO for basis. Dreams are reality's peace. Blow steam in the face of the beast. The sky can fall down, the wind can cry down. The strong in me, I still smile.
I love myself. The world is a ghetto with guns and dicky signs. I love myself. But they can do what they want whenever they want. I don't.
And good evening. Welcome to Pacifica Radio's broadcast of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Tonight, from the convention floor, we're going to hear from Donald Trump's fiercest primary opponent, Ted Cruz. We'll also hear from Newt Gingrich and Republican vice presidential candidate Mike Pence. We'll talk to journalists Thomas Frank, Anna Kasparian, Dan Rather, and John Nichols, Black Lives Matter founder Alicia Garza, foreign policy analyst Phyllis Bennis, Republican officials Michael Steele and Harmeet Dhillon, comics Will Durst and Jimmy Dore, and a whole lot more. We'll also have sound from the streets. We'll be with you for the next 4 hours. I'm your host, Mitch Cheserich. And here with me is my co-host, Askia Muhammad. He is the news director at Pacifica Station WPFW in Washington, D.C. Askia, it's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Likewise, Mitch.
Your thoughts here, day three, the Republican National Convention.
Well, it's official, and it is troubling somewhat to see that the party of Lincoln has now become the party of Trump, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but the party of Trump is now a white power party.
And that's not a bad thing?
Well, white power, it's the way it's been for 400 and some years, but
out in the open.
It can get better.
So, Askia, we're going to talk more about this. Again, we're going to be out with you for the next 4 hours. But first, we want to begin with a conversation we had with journalist Thomas Frank. Thomas Frank is well known for his books, including What's the Matter with Kansas? His latest book is really a takedown on the Democratic Party. It's called Listen, Liberal. And we did talk about both the Republican and Democratic parties. Thomas Frank, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Now, we're at the Republican convention, not the Democratic one. Are you working on something concerning the Republican convention?
I always am. You know that. I mean, I've written about conservatives for years. This new book about the Democrats is that's a departure for me. But look, these conventions, as you walk around in the street outside, I mean, there's always hilarious material to write about. Like, for example, on my way over to this building, there was, they've been talking about all the protests. They're worried about all these protesters, and there's this enormous police presence here in Cleveland. I mean, enormous, right? And it's all over the city. Wherever you go in the city, they're out there. They've got like snow plows ready to block off the streets and stuff. So anyhow, they haven't had anything to, as far as I've seen, they haven't had anything to go into action against. Okay, so
it was a little more rowdy today, I heard. I don't know the exact details.
Rowdy is
yet.
The right word, but there weren't any. I didn't see any organized protests, but we did see, as we crossed one of the streets leading up to the convention center, a lone street preacher denouncing everybody who passed and like, you're all going to hell. And he was screaming, and there were maybe 20 cops lined up ready to take him on.
Well, as you mentioned, you've written...
It was kind of awesome, really.
Did they get him?
they were like, move along, you know. It's one street preacher.
Yeah. Now, you have written a lot about Republicans in the past. What's the matter with Kansas?
Yeah, well, you see it here, right?
Well, what do you think about Donald Trump then and what you were writing about with that book, what, 10 years ago or so?
That was 12 years
ago. Was it 12 years ago?
It's everything, I mean, it's all gone so much farther. Just to gloat a little bit.
Yeah.
Were
you right?
The main criticism of that book was that, oh, no way. The white working class is solidly Democratic and will always be.
Yeah.
And And I was like, you know, you're whistling past the graveyard, my friend. And here we are. I mean, it's no, things have changed quite a bit since then. That was all about the culture wars back then. And now here we are, basically one depression later. And everything is curdled, is so much worse, you know, so much angrier. By the way, can I tell you another funny thing I saw on the way over here?
Sure.
So this is, and this also gives you some insight into why people like Donald Trump. I saw two T-shirts, not one, but two T-shirts that depicted a cartoon Trump flipping the bird at, you know, the powers that be. In one case, it was like the puppet masters that rule, that make the marionette politicians dance. And then the puppet Donald Trump had a pair of scissors and had cut the wires and was flipping off the puppeteer. Right? I mean, it's kind of a high concept, well, or a medium concept idea anyway. I mean, but there's a whole bunch of them. There was more than one T-shirt that involved Trump flipping the bird. Fascinating.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the big
protest candidate.
Yeah, but in a kind of an awful way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, one of the big mysteries that I'm trying to understand is why working class people like him so much. I mean, I think those T-shirts give you the answer. It's all about the style, the language, the anger. I'm sorry, I don't want to criticize Trump because it's like a waste of time, you know, to point out his policy proposals lack substance. You know, his policy proposals don't exist.
Yeah.
He's a ridiculous man.
Are you surprised he's the candidate?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's everything that's going on this year is crazy. Everything in the Republican side. The Democratic side is... they have, you know, the insiders have managed to reassert control, and they've, you know, no surprises. They put down the threat of Bernie Sanders, such as it was, and they are steaming complacently towards the White House as they think. And, you know, I don't want to say I hope they make it, but I sure hope Trump doesn't. By the way, a good friend of mine who's I think he's pretty moderate politically, but this is a guy that's never had any problem with choosing one or the other of the two main party candidates, said to me the other day, why can't they both lose?
Right, right. No, we're the only loser, maybe.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's right, the public. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you think Trump could win?
Do I think Trump could win? Yes, he can. Think about it this way. He's patterning himself after Nixon 68. What a hell of a person to pattern yourself after. But that's what he's doing.
Sort of the law and order.
Exactly. Yeah. And if the situation continues to slide more towards a 68 style situation in the streets or whatever, yeah, you can see that happening. But that itself is crazy. There's no Vietnam War going on, you know? For example, one of the big themes last night was betrayal at the top, you know, betrayal by Hillary at the top. Classic Republican theme. They've been riding this hobby horse since the 50s. You know, this is the great McCarthy. And Nixon did it, too. The idea that the Democratic administration was filled with communists, blah, 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 blah. Right. But they were talking back then about the Soviet Union, about losing China. Trump is talking about four guys in Benghazi.
Yeah.
You know, it's all of these
kind of replace that dynamic, though.
They're trying to, they want it to,
yeah.
You know, but it's not, come on, it's not the same thing. This is not, there's not a threat of nuclear annihilation, you know. It's not a global contest of serious ideas. This is, you know, this is not that at all. But they want it to be that. They want it to be that so badly. And they're in a fantasy land, these guys.
Thomas Frank, your latest book, Listen Liberal, is a real critique of the Democratic Party. Of course, here we're hearing a critique of the Democratic Party. Compare and contrast your critique of the Democratic Party and then the critique you hear from the Republicans at the convention.
Well, every now and then they say something that's correct. I don't want to...
When are they correct?
When they talk about globalization and trade, and they blame this on Clinton. I think that is not Hillary, but Bill. I think that's fair. And when they blame it on Obama, that is fair. These people are globalizers at heart, and they really believe in this agenda. And that is also, I think, a big part of Trump's blue-collar appeal, is that that trade issue. I think that's a fair critique of the Democrats. A lot of the rest of it is just is so much nonsense. Now, they'll often, the other similarity with Listen Liberal is they'll often use the term elite to describe liberals and Democrats. Fair enough, a lot of Democrats are. But what the Republicans will never acknowledge is that they also are an elite. You have more than one elite in this country. The question is, you have, you know, an elite of business, Trump. You have an elite of status, Hillary Clinton, you know, this great lawyer, great mind, with amazing academic credentials, all this kind of thing. You have these two different elites. Where are you and I going to line up? Which side are we going to choose? And that's always the question. What's fascinating about the Republican critique of the liberal elite is fatuous and misses the point in all sorts of ways. But what's interesting is it's the only real critique of elites out there. The Democrats don't, well, they won't use theirs. I mean, they have one, right? A critique of big business, of Wall Street. This is the Democratic heritage.
You don't think they are anymore, even after the campaign of Bernie Sanders?
Sanders was doing it. This is what Sanders was on fire. I don't think Hillary can do it because she's so compromised by her association with Wall Street. Barack Obama can't do it. By the way, did you see something? I just wrote about this today. I just published the essay. Today, Barack Obama was asked recently by Business Week magazine what he wanted to do after his presidency, what industry he might go into. Did you see what he answered?
No.
Venture capital.
Venture capitalism. Did he say anything else, but did he just say venture capitalism?
No, it wasn't. It was you know how he speaks in these sort of long sentences.
Yeah.
Always complete sentences. You got to admire